We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
What started as a peaceful morning of kayaking and whale watching turned into one very close call for Julie McSorley and her friend Liz Cottrell of San Luis Obispo. I still have an adrenaline rush, she said, as of this afternoon. They were kayaking off the coast of a beach watching whales about 30 feet from them.
Okay.
I saw a big pool of fish, the big bait ball come up out of the water, and then I saw the whale come up. I thought, oh no, it's too close. The whale was right there in my face, literally. All of a sudden, I lifted up and I was in the water, said McSorley. She was recording the whole experience on her cell phone. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to push a whale out of the way. It was the weirdest thought. I'm thinking, I'm dead. I thought it was going to land on me. Next thing you know, I'm underwater. Once McSorley surfaced, she waited for Cottrell to surface as well. Moments later, other paddleboarders who saw this and kayakers came to the rescue. They thought that the two ladies had been eaten.
I saw one cell phone clip. It looks like the two women and the kayak went into the whale's mouth.
Yeah. The two hopped back onto the kayak. They rowed to shore. We got back to the car. I was shaking my shirt, and a bunch of fish came out. There was one casualty for the close call. McSorley actually lost her car keys. But she and her friend gained an unbelievable story to tell, but terrifying none the least.
Man, it's different with animals, man. Like, you can... I have not dealt with wild animals much, but I'm walking my former dog a couple years ago, and as I'm walking in front of this one house, the front door to the house opens, and there's two dudes that live there, and I'm pretty familiar with these guys. They're literally just opening their door at the moment I'm walking by. Well, they have this pit bull. And this pit bull, and I know dogs are fast, but it's different when they're running at you. And I remember this thing runs across the street at me. I mean, I could not believe how much ground it covered. And before I can even get the words, uh-oh, out, it kind of went by me, went for my dog. Two dogs start getting into it. So I take my foot and kick the pit bull in the butt. Unfortunately, it turned around and now looked at me. And I'm like, this is the end of my life. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, this thing looks vicious. And my dog comes out of nowhere, like grabs this thing by the neck. They're tussling. Now the two guys have made it across the street. They pull it apart. Or apologizing. I'm like, hey, man, you know, this happens, whatever. But as I'm walking home, like, I am shaking.
Yeah.
Just like, man, it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is not cool with animals, man.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Suck up on it on two.
Hola. Hola.
What's going on, gents?
Oh, you know, enjoying the day, sir.
Absolutely. Ain't it gorgeous? Anyway, so high school is 16. My buddy's like, hey, let's go ATVing. Like, A, I don't have an ATV, and B, I've never gone. It's like, no worries, I'll teach you. You can have my dad's. Get to the end of the day, and literally the words are, okay, one last run, and we're booking it through this little trail. I think he's right on my tail, and so I'm going a little too risky. I go to make a sharp turn over around an embankment, and the wheels don't catch. And, uh-oh. Went right through my head when I was airborne with at least a foot-wide tree coming right at my face.
Yep.
Yeah. Somehow I was lucky enough to just lean enough to the left, and literally it scraped my chest from all the bark. And, yeah, that ATV stayed on the front of that tree.
Did you total the ATV?
I thought that I did. My friend's dad definitely thought that I did. It turns out I just knocked off the starter and had to redo some of the metal in front, so I ended up paying him for that. But talk about that silent trip back to the cars. And then finally his dad goes, well, I guess we can see what happens when I get disappointed by the reckless action of teenagers.
I would never lend my ATV to anybody.
Well, he didn't. He used his dad's.
Right. Did his dad know that you were using his ATV?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. Anything like that, you just know damn well you're going to wreck those things eventually, whether it's a dirt bike, whether it's a snowmobile, whether it's an ATV.
Especially if he says, I haven't done this before. Yeah. Like, okay, well, you're not using mine.
Even if you That's go four-wheeling or whatever your deal is.
Ted, you almost killed yourself on a snowmobile, right?
Correct.
And what, almost went off a cliff?
Yep. took a corner a little, fast.
Mm-hmm.
So then the thing kind of, it ejected me off, and then it landed upside down, hanging off a cliff.
Jesus, how cliff down?
I have no idea. We were up in Chelan, like way back in the mountains. It was obviously it was super snowy.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah.
But at what moment did you know, oh, no?
When I got into the corner.
You just kind of feel it getting away from it.
Right, uh-huh. But luckily, it bucked me off. Right?
Otherwise, you'd have shot over the cliff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that news? And I know who you were with, former coworker. If you say, hey, man, I really apologize. I killed your buddy.
Went over a cliff on a snowmobile. I had never been. And even Miles was like, hey, man, be careful on those things. Mm-hmm. I was like, sure.
Because I've wrecked one before.
But that guy is just one of those guys. Him and his friends had been going every year. So they're just like, keep up. And it's just like, so then that happened. And finally, they slowed down some. So it was like, look, I'm going to kill myself on this thing.
Yes. And you prove that you're adept at that.
I will say that when we got back to the cabin, that was, oh, I mean, my hands were shaking for like another hour.
Yeah. Because you realize what could have happened.
Yeah.
What was the moment you said, oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
And the windshield went back on, so I didn't get charged extra.
Nice.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Hello, Jake. Welcome to the men's room.
Mike Tech.
Hola.
Hey, so a couple years ago, me and a buddy of mine were down in Vegas, and we're down there for a few days, so we got a rental car, and we decided one night to go to a casino that was like 2 miles away from our hotel. So we go to this casino. Start drinking at about 10 p.m. 2:30 a.m. rolls around, and we're like, okay, we should probably leave. So I look at my buddy, and he's trashed. I'm like, I can't drive. I'll call us an Uber. And he goes, oh, no, it's only 2 miles. We got this. I'll drive us back. And I was like, dude, it's not worth it. Let's get an Uber. He goes, no, man. It's only 2 miles. It's only a 35-mile-an-hour road. We'll just do the speed limit. We're fine. So I'm like, okay, man, it's on you. So we get in the car, and sure enough, like a mile down the road, we see the blue lights flashing in the rearview mirror. And the instant that happens, you just look at each other, and I'm like, we're going to jail. Like, it's over.
There's no chance
he's going to pass this.
But why we? Why? You're not driving. It's perfectly legal to be drunk in a car.
Right. Very good point.
Yeah, but, man, you're going to jail.
Yeah, you dummy. I told you.
No, but like, so I thought that I was going to have to go through the hassle of getting him out of jail. I'm not going to leave my buddy in there, so I was going to have to bail him out and all this. And just that feeling that you have when you know there's no chance that you're going to pass the sobriety test.
Oh, of course.
And the look on his face, it said everything. So the cop ends up coming to the window and asks for his license and registration, all that stuff. Doesn't say why he pulled him over or anything, goes back to the car, sits there for like a minute, comes back, and he goes, yeah, I stopped you because you're in a rental and they don't have license plates on the rentals down there. They just have like a sticker in the window.
Okay.
And he couldn't see the sticker in the window because I was in the passenger seat and it was on the windshield. And so because I'm a large individual in the passenger seat, he couldn't see that sticker. So he just pulled him over because he didn't have any plate.
That was it? He just
handed him his license and registration and said, have a good night, and never asked if we'd been drinking, like, nothing like that.
I will say this. As far as going to Las Vegas is concerned,
yeah,
never rent a car. Not unless you plan on driving to Los Angeles at the end of your trip. Do not rent a car in Vegas.
Because you're going to get drunk.
You do not need to be behind the wheel for any reason whatsoever. If you want to go to Fremont, take a cab. If you want to go anywhere, take a cab. For the most part, you should be able to walk in the vicinity of where your hotel is and get most things done. Unless you're at the Rio, take a cab. Whatever you are, take a cab every single time. They're everywhere.
People drive limos and will pick you up roadside.
Because I'm a large individual in the past.
And you probably will spend less money than you would renting a car. it's a safer experience.
No, I don't want to be responsible for anything in Vegas. Like, yeah. To me, at this age, like, look, it is understood the condition we're all going to be in for the brief amount of time. Do not bring anything valuable. Do not rent a car. Like, I'm not going to be responsible for anything.
None of that.
I'm not going to be responsible to myself. So certainly I'm not going to be responsible to anything.
I am a fast driver. I've been in cabs in Vegas before. I'm like, this guy's flying. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't mess around. They get you from point A to point B as quickly as humanly possible.
Dude, I'm with you. Outside of maybe renting like a crazy sports car for a couple hours, like, I've never thought about renting a car in Vegas.
No. Nothing I have to be responsible for.
I try to, and like, right, I did it with us one time. I've done it for bachelor parties. I make sure that there is a car picking us up that we get back to that damn airport.
Oh, yeah. Man, you have
that's
to.
That's always my worry.
It's, like, it's always just, like, it's a Suburban or something
right,
bigger.
It's just like,
you got five dudes, six dudes. You know what I mean? You
yeah,
got,
after my buddy's bachelor party, like, two other dudes were like, are you leaving right now? It's like, yeah. They're like, can we hop in with you? I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm just like, if we start this day, like, have we started the last 3 days, we're never making the airport.
There's no chance.
You know, what was the moment you said, oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so classic high school days. Had a girl I was interested in at the time, and her and her family wanted me to go camping with them for the weekend. And I thought, man, my parents are never going to go for that one. So, of course, I gave the classic, well, I'm going to stay at my boy's house for the weekend. And, you know, it's just a regular hangout guy session weekend thing. And they called my bluff in the first 2 hours, and I was already on I-5 headed northbound with her family, and mom calls me up, and I answer the phone, and the classic, you know, where are you? And, well, you know, I'm at my friend Jimmy's place, and no, you're not. We're there right now.
Oh.
And, I'm like, oh, well, you caught me there. So not much I could do then. I wasn't driving and was too far away from my vehicle to go back home, so just had to
Did you tell your mom the truth of what you were doing at that point? Did you say, look,
oh,
mom,
no.
You still didn't tell her where you were?
No.
What did you tell her? I mean, you had to tell her something, so what
yeah,
did
but
you
were there with her parents.
No, with the girl I was interested in, parents, right.
Right.
Yeah,
and so, but that would say, well, you have adult supervision.
Yeah, but it's like, it doesn't matter. His parents were saying no, so it doesn't matter.
So they would have never let you gone knowing that situation.
Knowing that I was going to be with the girl for the weekend? Oh, absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay. Right. Well, where did you say you were?
I had no option. I just hung up the phone.
Wait.
Oh, so, awesome. Good call.
Your mom calls your bluff. You hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And then what? You enjoy your weekend. But I got to think, knowing that at the end of this weekend, life's going to suck, did that kind of take away from your ability to fully enjoy?
Oh, no. I went balls to the wall. I went ham.
Okay, good.
I was drinking, partying, you know, there were lots of fun times.
And then,
totally worth it.
So you would say you made the right call?
Yeah.
There is something about that, and I've said this before, but early in my radio career, we're doing a Baltimore Ravens broadcast. It goes to 18 different affiliates. But I'm in the studio running master control, and there's a bunch of us in there because NFL broadcast takes a whole lot of people. But the radio company we worked for at the time had just sent out a memo. To this day, I cannot remember what the memo was about, but everyone was angry about it, right? So it's just one of these company policy things, and everyone's pitching a bitch. And as I'm talking to my coworkers, I lean on the board that controls everything. I don't realize I've turned the microphone on. Now, it does not matter what you're doing at the radio station. If you turn on the microphone, the one thing that everyone will hear is the words that come out of your mouth. Now, I did figure it out pretty quickly. However, to 18 different markets, again, carrying an NFL broadcast, and that's a lot of money, right? They don't mess around. Mm-hmm. All you heard in my voice, clearly my voice, the effing memo, except I did not say effing. I used the full word, all right? So then I turn off the mic, and there's this weird hush in the studio. And all the dudes are looking at me, looking down at their feet. I'm like, oh, no, right? And about 5 minutes later, the hotline rings. Because apparently my boss, he has now gotten 18 separate phone calls from these separate affiliates in different states going, hey, man, I don't know what kind of operation you're doing here, but the F-bomb just rolled down. And it's me. So the hotline's ringing because he knows that I'm working aboard, and I keep ignoring it. And I'm just like, dude, you got to answer that. I said, I'm not answering that. They said, dude, you know it's Bob. I said, no, that's why I'm not answering it. I know who it is. I know it's the boss. And they're like, why aren't you going to answer it? I said, if I answer it, he's going to fire me, see? But if I don't answer it, keep in mind, he's at the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. This guy runs it. So he's at the stadium. He's entertaining clients. I'm sure he's in a nice suite. He's watching the game. It's only the third quarter. He's not leaving before the end of the game. He's not going to tell his clients what just happened because that looks real bad. So, and this, I mean, every 2 or 3 minutes, that thing would light up again. I'm like, I'm not answering the phone. But it made these other guys nervous. They're like, well, we're going to get in trouble. I said, no, you're not. He knows the chair I'm sitting in the studio. But I'm not going to answer it, because if I answer it, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to hedge my bets that maybe he'll calm down by tomorrow, tomorrow being Monday, and I'll keep my job. And sure enough, and man, I really thought I was in, well, I was in trouble, but I came in that Monday. And like anything, you know, I'm not going to bring it up. But I mean, as soon as I sit down in the studio, hey, Bill wants to talk to you. Now, Bill is another boss. He's a different boss than the guy who was calling, but he can still fire my ass. And I remember walking into his office, like, close the door, which everyone hates. When you walk into someone's office and they say, close the door, like, oh, no. Oh, and
I might get yelled at.
I'm trying to be cool. This guy, he wasn't the guy to raise his voice much, and he wasn't. He just looked at me and he said, during yesterday's NFL broadcast, the NFL, by the way, this is a multi-million dollar. They're dropping the gravity of the situation on you, right? And the whole time, I'm playing stupid, like, you know, said an F-bomb, and he pulls out a piece of paper and says the exact quote I said, but the effing memo. And he goes, you know, oddly, I know that CBS just put out a memo that a lot of employees are unhappy about. So, oh, yeah, that's all I meant. It doesn't bother me. He's like, anyway, the F-bomb went out to 18 different affiliates, and you can see on my face, I'm like, oh, my God, 18, really? He's like, yeah, now, it sounded a lot like you. I said, you know, I heard that, and I thought that guy sounded like me, too. So now there's this weird silence we're looking at, because either he's going to fire me, or he's going to let it go. It's obvious it's me. But like I said, with cops, like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to admit to that. If you ask me, I will tell you. But he never asked. He said, it sounded a lot like you. I said, yeah, I heard that guy's voice. I thought so, too. And he's like, well, this is what I would suggest. You find out whoever did it. I'm like, uh-huh. And you let them know that I said, if anything like that happens ever again, I will end their career in radio. So I'll ask around, man.
Sure.
You know.
Did you ever find out who it was?
To this day, I don't know. I can see this guy now. I was still telling him it was not me.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I am in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
I think you almost got in trouble because some other jackass.
Who sounds like me.
That's crazy.
I know, man. Yeah. Hello, Ariana. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Big fan, you guys.
Hey, thank
you. Here's my quick story. I went to Snoqualmie Falls with my husband, and we decided we wanted to hang, and missing when I climb trees. So I told him, like, you know, we can get down to the river. I know it's closed off now, but I can get down there, and I convinced him that it was all right. I go to jump to grab the tree to go down, and I never touched the tree. I fell down, like, 7 feet and broke my rib.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Did you roll down the hill?
No, I landed on some rocks, and, like, it was insane. But what I was most worried about was getting trouble. So I told him to quit freaking out, and I was going to get out there somehow, and to not call attention to us because I was pretty drunk. I didn't feel it until the next day. Into emergency room.
Yeah, well, there's not much you can do. They make sure that you didn't puncture anything. But other than that, you know what I mean? It's just got to kind of heal up. So you hope you don't have to cough, sneeze, laugh, sleep. You know, I mean, it's just breathe. Like you feel a sneeze coming on. You're like, oh, no, no, not now. Because there's always going to be three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And each one hurts. Like, as you are! As you are! It's just this trigger. You're like, oh, no. What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I am in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Coming up, Ryan Castle will join us from his basement studio dungeon. Once again, we will sit and spin. Very special sit and spin for you today.
Yeah.
Ryan Castle's even going to be surprised on this one. It is 10 bands renamed by Vince Neil. It will be up to Ryan Castle to determine, knowing what the band is, what Vince would rename the band if Vince could.
That is correct. And we have the answers. Ryan does not, but he will do his best to guess where Vince's mind would have been.
It's a pop quz of Vince Neil style. Coming up with Sit and Spin.
Just like it was in school.
Our question, what was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Thank you, brother.
Hey, so I got a good story for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm a water utility worker up here in South Snohomish County. And I was out there learning how to do part of my job, learning how to drill into a water main, connect service to it. And first time doing it ever. I ran it over me and struck me how to do it, and I saw water starting to come out. And that's not good. I don't know if you guys ever know that or not. It's not good. So as I start, starting to back everything off, trying to see what I messed up, I look up and see my boss's boss standing above me and my boss's boss with him. And I look up and I'm just like, crap, that's not great. So I start quickly doing things. And as we end up getting the water main shut down and this whole long, like probably hour long process. After all that was said and done, my boss comes up and he goes, Kyle, do you know what you did wrong? Yeah. I got it. Walk through it. His boss comes over to me. All right, Kyle, do you know what you did wrong? Yeah. I got it. And then his boss, who's the general manager, comes up and goes, Kyle, do you understand what you did wrong here? Yeah. So I did paperwork and talked to it was a whole thing.
But you do understand what you did wrong?
No.
Nope, not even a little bit.
Okay. So, did you ever try to do this exact maneuver again?
Yes.
And?
I've only messed it up one other time.
Sounds kind of like a big deal. What are you continually doing wrong?
It's more of like the angle that I'm going in at. It wasn't completely straight up. And it was, let's just say it was a rock that got in the way. That's what I told my boss, and he was fine with that.
Okay. All right.
I like it. I like that the lines are built in.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever do this again because I'll probably mess it up.
There is something about it. It seems like when you F up or do something stupid, it's always the biggest boss that you never have to deal with. When I worked at Chi-Chi's, we had a helium tank to fill up balloons because it was the kind, well, as you know, they would sing happy birthday to you, right? If it's your birthday and all this kind of crap. Anyway, the hostess is filling up balloons. I come out of the kitchen and I decide to start sucking down helium, right? So obviously my voice gets real high pitched. And then I grab the intercom system they used to have where you'd like, Smith, party to your table's ready. So I got the high-pitched voice, and I start singing, It's a small world after all. Well, the people in the restaurant are laughing, and this dude named Gail, who I did not realize was there, he's also the regional manager of Chi-Chi's, turns the corner, looks directly at me, and says, you're suspended for the rest of the day.
Oh.
No, I mean, it's just, I'm like, geez, man. I mean, like, come on. And then I was shooting out, so same hostess, maybe 2 months later, had a staple gun, and I'm firing the staples at the balloons that she's blowing up, like 10 feet away. Most of the staples would bounce off. A few would pop. She didn't care, right? We're just having fun. I shoot a staple. It goes errant. And then the general manager, which is another woman, turns the corner and this thing shoots you right in the boob.
Oh.
I mean, direct.
Is that the rest of your day? Did you get the rest of your day?
The rest of my day was off. But Melissa was her name. And she turned the corner. It's an errant shot. And you knew you hit her because she just went, ah, and grabbed her boob. And I'm like, this is unbelievable, man.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, 206-421-ROCK?
I don't know why, but maybe it's because I watched too many episodes of The Office. When anybody says regional manager, I'm already like, oh, this person's no fun.
Right. They're not. They're really not. Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. So my story is my buddy and I went out celebrating, newly 21. We're not celebrating his dumping of his girlfriend. We all get plastered. He decides at like 1:30 in the morning, we're going to go to McDonald's. They're all closed in our area. but he thinks it's a good idea. So I drive, and as we're leaving the parking lot of the McDonald's that's closed, he says, whatever you do, don't get pulled over. I had a dream last night. We both got arrested. So 30 seconds later, I see those lights. Whoop, whoop. And he looks at me and says, what did I tell you? So I pulled over. For some reason, I had welding goggles in my passenger seat that he proceeded to put on as the cop was walking up.
That's a great idea.
Why? Like,
I don't know. It's pitch black. He's like, oh, yeah, welding goggles? Solid. He's covered in liquor. He reeks. I'm wearing a Corona hat with a bottle opener on it. The cop comes up. He gives me out. I start doing my sobriety test. I look over. My buddy's in the passenger seat with his hands up the entire time. And talking to him later, he said, I knew you were going to get arrested when they did the eye test with the flashlight, and your whole head was moving with that flashlight. I thought I nailed that.
Yeah, you okay. Did.
When I knew that I was going to jail was when the cop said, hey, stand on one leg, lift your other leg up, put your finger to your nose, count to 30. He goes, okay, go. About 10 seconds go by. He goes, are you going to start counting? I was like, oh, you mean out loud.
Got it. Jesus.
Okay.
had to restart that. And then he gives me the sobriety test, or the breathalyzer. And it goes to 0.079, and it stops. And I look at it, and I look at him, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself at this point. And he just looks at me and says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And it just skyrockets back up. And I was like, well, that's it. I'm out. The entire time, though, my buddy is over there with his hands up. The officer comes up. He's like, you know, I never asked you to do that. He starts crying. He's like, I didn't know what to do.
Is he still wearing the welding goggles?
No, he finally took those off about halfway through my sobriety test.
Okay. So did you get hauled off to jail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the cop was actually super nice about it. He was like, look, I'm going to give you two tips. One, don't wear a beer hat with a bottle opener on it.
Okay.
Two, don't let people wear welding goggles at 1:30 in the morning. Not smart.
Yeah. That is sound advice.
How did he get home?
His buddy, or he called his dad, and he called his dad, his buddy, or he came out, and as the tow truck was picking up my car, his dad shows up, and they actually ended up knowing each other. They went to school together, and then the next morning, he goes back to the same bar that we left that night to go pick up his car, goes and has breakfast with his dad. He's like, oh, yeah, looks at the bartender. He's like, yeah, my buddy's messed up. I'm pretty sure he's still in jail.
Well, nice.
Were you still in jail? Were you still in jail?
No. Luckily, I got out. Probably, I was only there for like 3 hours.
That's okay. It?
It wasn't that bad, except for the meth head that was there who was just doing push-ups, yelling, slamming the phone, just going, I'm going to do push-ups because this is all I know how to do.
All right.
Yeah, that's the guy you steer clear of.
Yeah,
he did three.
Push-up guy.
How long were you?
Three nights.
I mean, but still, man. But roughly speaking, the same effect.
Right. I mean, and you weren't even really driving.
In a horrible prison. Well, jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, they were pissed. They were pissed.
What, at you?
Yeah.
Why were they mad at you?
They knew the guy whose car I was driving.
Okay.
So at some point, they were like, just say he's driving.
I see.
Okay.
All right.
Right. So... there's a way in certain cities to get lost in a system.
Yes. Okay, I see.
Yeah, like I said,
in certain cities,
right? I mean,
certain cities. Baltimore
doesn't have the best reputation.
No.
So, right. So they were one guy was really salty. I mean, it's a common thing, right? Good cop, bad cop.
Right. Of course.
But I remember when the good cop was leaving, I went, oh, I'm really going to be in here, and he's like, oh yeah,
yeah, man. That's
what.
Make yourself at home.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, 206-421-ROCK?
When I served those damn boiled eggs for breakfast.
Man, when you hear that door shut to your cell, I can't. We've all heard the sound, you know what I mean? But like when you are on the inside of it and you hear it, you're like, Man, S just got so real. You know, like, I was in trouble. Yeah. I was drunk 15 seconds ago. That thing closed. It's like, I am sober as F.
Stone cold.
Yeah, man. It is. That is an ugly, ugly feeling.
Yeah. I'm lonely.
I'd rather be lonely.
Right. Start singing spirituals. Swing low.
And it's like camping. All of a sudden, you don't have to poop.
Right. Just like, this is bad. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, this was back when I was high school. I was 16 at the time. I was learning to drive, and my dad wanted me to drive stick, and he trained me on a 79 C10, which was three on the tree.
Okay.
You're all familiar with that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it's a common problem among them, like, that the gears like to cross sometimes when you shift.
They do. You got to reach into that front hole, that hood, man, and just shake them and try to get them unloose. I know. Happens all the time.
Exactly. And you would have think I would have realized that before I decided to take the truck out. So I did it one day. Dad's not home. Just thought I was going to ride around for a little bit because I like driving and I wanted to really get a master on driving stick. But, you know, I come to my first traffic light. You know, I shift down into first and I couldn't shift back out of it. And I'm there, had to turn on the emergency lights. Cop had to come and get me, the base cop, because I was on a base. I'm a military brat. And then across the street, neighbor also bailed me out. And so, yeah, of course, I get towed home. Mom is there. She came home. Noticed the truck was gone. And then, yeah, it was fun. A lot of fun.
I was going to say, what is
it? Away.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take him to come back home?
Oh, he came back home the next day.
Oh, okay. All right.
And did mom inform him?
It didn't make any less
matters. Was that the last time you drove the truck for a while?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Funny how we can predict that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's always worse with dad somehow. You know, mom's run a lot of interference, I found, and I'm sure that it happens in my house. Because I'm like, look, I don't need to know, and I'm sure if your mom tells me, I might want to kill you. She will gauge the severity of what you've done.
Yep.
And then I get, like, I will hear, like, hey, 3 days ago, this kid did that. And you go, all right, it's 3 days ago. If I get to call at work, that's your ass. And I remember, man, with my mom, only once did she act, you know, it was always wait for your father to get home. And rarely would she actually tell him the really bad stuff. And I remember the one time she did, it was like, all right, I'm going to make sure I don't do anything to this extreme again, because it's so different. Like, you're in trouble with your mom. You know, she's unhappy and she's making you feel bad. It's just, dad, it was different, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm actually scared.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
I will say, though, it is weird. The few times your mom does get really pissed, it's like, it's scary.
Because your mom, you realize in that moment, your mother has tolerated all of the garbage that you've spewed. And yeah, they get irritated with you and you have your conversations, but it's different, right? When they have now shut you up, you are not allowed to speak because they're going to speak to you. And that's when you're like, man, because that's your last safety barrier.
Right? I heard a little bit of argument downstairs. I'm upstairs in my room. I'm probably 13, 14 years old. And my mom, who never raises her voice, never cusses, none of that stuff. I hear the F-bomb flying. And then I hear breaking glass.
Uh-oh.
And I run downstairs because I'm like, what's going on? And my mom is throwing plates against the wall in the kitchen.
Is she throwing them at anyone? Or she's throwing
my stepfather.
Okay.
And he's standing there. And then I walk in. And then she doesn't, like, it's almost like she was in a trance. Like, she didn't stop. She just kept hurling stuff around the kitchen. I mean, throwing stuff into the walls. And the thing was that we had wallpaper.
Yeah.
So a couple of the plates actually kind of stuck into the wall because they kind of penetrated the wallpaper kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I've never seen. I walked out. I was like, I'm leaving. I basically went and spent the night at my friend's house that night. I'm like, you know, no questions asked.
Surely. I don't need to know.
Get me the hell out of there.
Mom, is this what marriage is like?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I remember walking in on one of those. I still to this day don't know what led up to. It was nothing good.
Right.
But by the time I got upstairs, my mom had her middle finger extended, sit on it, and rotate. And she grabbed my hand, and we left the house.
Sit on it and rotate.
Oh, yes. Right. She was pissed.
For your mom, I mean, that's
right. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got a good story for you. It was a couple of years ago, fall. Think about this time of year, maybe right when it starts freezing at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was heading back from a certain random lady's house, so my adrenaline's already pumping. And there's Highway 507 between Yelm and Rainier, or no, between Yelm and Spanaway. And I'm hitting that road speed limit's 50. I was probably doing about 75, and there's this sharp curve, and I hit at the same speed I always hit. Well, all of a sudden, I lose traction, and my car slides one way, then it slides the other way, and I'm facing the side of the road. My car is completely sideways, and there's telephone poles about every 7,500 feet. I go in between the telephone poles off the road, and I'm still sliding completely sideways, perpendicular with the road. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of scary. And I look over, and I've weaved back in between the telephone poles. I'm going straight at one. It's in my passenger window, and I'm looking right at it, and it's getting closer. And I'm like, well, this is how I go out. And I was so close to that pole that I could read the numbers on it. And then somehow, I don't know how it happened, but right before I smacked that pole, it whipped my car right back out onto the road without touching the pole. And I was right back in my lane like nothing ever happened.
So if I were to witness this, would I think like you're a stuntman or something based on how this shook out?
Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, well, the way it whipped me back out on the road, it's like, oh, yeah, I planned it that way.
And and when you're in the midst of that, it's all in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Everything just turns to a crawl.
It was surreal. It was completely just super slow. And I don't know if my body took over and somehow I was able to maneuver around it or what, but it just, blink of an eye, it happened so fast but so slow at the same time.
It's weird how that works, man. It seems like when your brain needs to contemplate what it perceives to be your imminent death, mm-hmm. suddenly everything slows down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I drove past the next day because it was about 11 o'clock at night, and my tire tracks were literally less than a foot away from that pole. I don't know how I didn't.
What kind of car were you driving?
I was driving, it was all-wheel drive, so that's why I had that extra confidence, but I hit a patch of ice. It was an Acura MDX.
Oh, so you're moving.
SUV.
Okay. What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? Those are nice, not cheap. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jamie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. So I was in the 173rd Airborne Infantry Brigade over in Italy. And we were doing an airborne operation, just a standard jump currency, combat jump, you know, rucksack, weapon and all that. And so we stand up, we hook up our static lines, we get ready to jump out of the doors. The green light comes on, first guy goes, jump, 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 and then my turn comes and we're all running out of there. Well, the guy behind me must have been right on my tail, because when I came out of that plane and my chute opened up, I seen that guy shoot open up right above me. Right above me. And when that happens, that takes the air out of his chute.
Oh, right,
and
right.
His chute collapses. And so the next thing I see is his chute collapse and his feet, and they tell you in the training every time that you jump, if you land on someone else's chute, because obviously it's happened before, to run off your chute. So I see his feet go on the silk chute. and then he starts crawling off my chute, and then my chute starts losing air. And so I pull, we call them our slips, like our static lines. And so I pull him to the right, and I'm like, pull your slips to the left. And I'm yelling at him, hoping he can hear me. And we're starting to fall faster and faster. And then we finally, like, he gets off my chute, right? And we separate. Well, you oscillate when that happens. And so he swung out to the left, and then he starts swinging back to the right into my static lines. And now I'm afraid that he's going to get, like, caught up in my static lines. So, like, I'm just, like, freaking out. I got my hand on my reserve, the red handle, like, you know, like, if your chute collapses, you have one more chute just right to kind of, like, save you. So I got my hand on my reserve, and I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And I'm freaking out. And then finally he, like, oscillated the other way, and we separated, floated safely to the ground. I laid there for a minute. And I just counted my blessings.
Had you ever had another jump that was that just like, you know, hairy for you? Was that the hairiest jump you've ever been a part of?
That was the hairiest one. When I got my Italian jump wings, we jumped with the Italians. I tore two muscles in my right rotator cuff that I actually just got surgery for. And that one kind of hurt, but we were jumping older parachutes. And I seen another guy cigarette roll. We call it a cigarette roll when when their chutes get all tangled up and they won't open. And they opened, like, his reserve chute opened like last second. He was probably like 100 feet from the ground, and it was crazy.
And he was okay?
Yeah, that was an airborne school. Like, I was like in my third jump.
Damn. I want to do this for a living.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I mean, like, I enjoyed it when I did it, but to be fair, it was tandem with the professional.
Right. I'd rather be doing other things in Italy. What was the moment you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, 206-421-ROCK, like eating food and drinking wine?
You're right, but if you're going to join the military, and like, Italy's not a bad place to end
up. No, it certainly is not.
No.
Hello, Shane. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so my story happened when I was, I think I was about 5 years old. Me and my cousin were at the house watching cartoons, and my dad's best friend had come over to do something with my dad, and he had this, like, cherry Firebird that he just loved. He babied this car. So him and my dad leave. He parks his Firebird in the driveway in front of our garage, and me and my cousin are watching Looney Tunes, and one of the characters on there, I can't remember why, ended up using a bed sheet as a parachute. So, of course, me being the smart child that I was, I'm like, I wonder if that'll work. Let's try it. So we go and grab a bed sheet out of the closet, and I climb up onto the garage. So go to the front, and I said to myself, well, I don't want to land on the concrete because that'll hurt. I know what I'll do. I'll land on the car.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So I jump. Parachute does absolutely nothing to slow me down because it's only like 10, 15-foot drop. Land on the hood of the car, dented in the hood, and then also went through the windshield.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So I pop up. I look over at my cousin. He didn't say a word. He just looked at me, eyes as wide as dinner plates, turned around and bolted. He took off, ran home. Well, my mom was inside doing something cleaning. I'm not sure. She heard me, you know, heard me thud onto the hood and then the windshield shatter. So she comes running out of the house. And sees me standing there on the hood of my dad's best friend's Firebird, just completely destroyed. So that was one of those moments where my mom, actually, she couldn't even handle it. All she did was, she was like, go to your room and wait for your dad to get home.
How bad was the punishment on that deal?
Oh, it was bad. I think it was like day, like probably weeks, actually. I wasn't allowed to leave my room. had to go over to my dad's friend's house and basically, like, any chore or anything he needed done, like, I had to do it. It was really bad. My dad, I definitely got put over my dad's knee for that one. So that was a great time.
Let me ask you this. But, the guy that owned the Firebird, did he have a mustache?
Yes, he did, actually.
He has.
Nice. Shocking.
If you have a cherry Firebird, come on. Yeah. You got a mustache.
He's a ladies' man. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Still to come, Ryan Castle on the way. We will sit and spin today 10 bands renamed by Vince Neil. That's coming up after emails from the men's room at KISW.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.